Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY20 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Welcome to Glenmark's Q3 earnings call. First, the review of operations for the quarter ended December 31, 2019. For the third quarter of FY19-20, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was $27,355 million, as against $25,500 million, recording an increase of 7.07%. For the nine months ended December 31, 2019, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at $78,734 million, recording an increase of 7.83%. India business. Sales from the formulation business in India for the third quarter was at $788.39 million, as against $6,675 million, recording a growth of 18.17%. The India business continued to outperform the industry growth as per IQVIA Q3 FY20. Glenmark's India business recorded growth of 13.65% compared to IPM growth of 9.03%. As per IQVIA MAT December 2019, the India business recorded growth of 12.98% compared to IPM growth of 10.10%. Glenmark's India formulation business is ranked 14th. Glenmark has nine brands among the top 300 in the IPM. In terms of market share, Glenmark's India business strengthened itself in its core therapy areas such as cardiac and respiratory. Glenmark is ranked second in the overall dermatology market, third in the overall respiratory market, and sixth in the cardiology market in India. In April 2019, Glenmark announced the launch of its novel patent-protected, globally researched SGLT2 inhibitor, remoglufosine etobicoate, in India. Glenmark is the first company in the world to launch remoglufosine, and the response from KOLs has been extremely positive. As per IQVIA December 2019 data, the sales for remoglufosine is tracking at 5 crores per month. Remoglufosine is the most successfully launched SGLT2 inhibitor in the Indian market in the first few months from launch. Glenmark has also launched the combination of remoglufosine and metformin for adults with type 2 diabetes in India. The combination has received a good response from the market. Glenmark Consumer Care business maintained its strong growth momentum with 14% growth at $377.6 million for the quarter. The effort is led by scalp shampoo franchise with 32% growth and VWash Plus with 28% growth in Q3. The growth was aided through the modern trade and e-commerce channels, increasing its contribution to GCC business to 22% in Q3 versus 19% in Q3 of the previous financial year. The U.S. business, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals USA, registered revenue from the sale of finished dosage formulation was at $7,998 million, $112.70 million for the quarter ended December 31, 2019, a degrowth of 6.53%. In the third quarter, Glenmark received final approval and launched adapalene and benzoyl peroxide gel 0.1%, 2.4%, Glumetza. In addition, Glenmark launched the previously approved ezetimibe and simvastatin tablets. The company received an overall of 13 ANDA approvals, including 11 approvals, final approvals, and two tentative approvals in the first nine months. The generic industry continued to be subdued, with the overall generic topical dermatology market continuing to witness price erosion of 6%-7% on a Q-on-Q basis. On a YTD basis, the overall generic topical dermatology market is estimated to have witnessed price erosion of around 17% for the first nine months of this financial year. During the first nine months, the U.S. business was significantly impacted in terms of sales on account of three products, mupirocin cream and also atomoxetine and calciproteon cream. Further, the sales in the quarter was also impacted due to ranitidine. The company filed three ANDA applications with the U.S. FDA in the quarter, taking the tally to seven for the nine months, and plans to file an additional five applications in the forthcoming quarters. Glenmark has five U.S. FDA formulation manufacturing facilities. In September 2019, the U.S. FDA inspected the manufacturing facility in Goa, and we received an EIR regarding that inspection. In September 2019, the U.S. FDA also inspected the manufacturing facility in Indore, and we received an EIR for that inspection also. The Baddi facility was inspected by SUKL, the Czech Republic and was issued a certificate of compliance for the audit in October 2019. Africa, Asia and CIS region for the third quarter FY 19-20, revenue from Africa, Asia and CIS region was 3,413 million, recording an increase of 0.37%. As per IQVIA data for MAT 2019, Glenmark Russia recorded growth of 7.7% in value vis-a-vis overall retail market growth of 6.5%. Glenmark overall rank is 48 in the Russian pharmaceutical market. Glenmark Ukraine showed secondary sales growth of 43.5% in value in the third quarter of FY20. The Asia region recorded moderate performance in the third quarter with secondary sales growth of 6%. Growth remained subdued across all major markets for Glenmark. The Africa region also recorded moderate growth in the third quarter. Glenmark's Europe operations for the third quarter FY20 was at 3,089.36 million, recording a degrowth of 3.98%. Glenmark Europe operations recorded strong growth in the third quarter of the previous financial year. Thus, in the current third quarter, the growth is suppressed to that extent. However, we still expect the European business to grow at a steady pace in the coming quarter. The European business, however, recorded growth quarter over quarter. Despite the high base effect, the Central Eastern and the Western European business recorded moderate growth as compared to the previous quarter, corresponding quarter. Further, GSK has concluded a settlement agreement concerning the existing litigation against Glenmark and Ceylon regarding the shape of their inhalation products containing salmeterol and fluticasone named Salmex in selected European markets. Under the settlement agreement concluded between the parties, Ceylon and Glenmark are permitted to sell Salmex in certain European markets in an agreed shape of inhaler device, free from intellectual property challenge. Latin America, Glenmark's revenue from its Latin America and Caribbean operations was at 1,563 million, recording an increase of 54.11%. The Brazil subsidiary continued to record good growth because of the launch of the three respiratory products licensed from Novartis. The Brazil subsidiary recorded growth in excess of 50% in the third quarter on a constant currency. The Mexico subsidiary also recorded growth in excess of 20% in constant currency. GPL Speciality and Innovative R&D Pipeline, Ryaltris nasal spray is the company's respiratory pipeline asset and is currently under review with the US FDA as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in the US. The company is currently in the process of bringing in a partner to commercialize Ryaltris in the US market. Additionally, Glenmark is also working to close a partnership deal for Ryaltris in various markets, including the EU. During the third quarter, we filed an application for Ryaltris approval in the European Union. The company has already completed partnership deals for Ryaltris in other markets such as Australia, New Zealand, South Korea and China, and will continue to evaluate partnership opportunities in various markets and launching the product in some of our key markets. During the first quarter of FY20, the US FDA issued a CRL pertaining to the new drug application for Ryaltris. We continue to work with the agency to resolve the issues raised in the CRL. During the third quarter of the financial year, Glenmark announced that its partner Seqirus has received marketing approval for Ryaltris from TGA Australia. This paves the way for the launch of Ryaltris in Australia through Seqirus. Australia will be the first market globally where Ryaltris will be launched. GBR-310, during FY19, Glenmark announced results on the Phase 1 study that suggests similarity in pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic, safety and immunogenicity profiles between GBR-310 and the reference product Omalizumab. The company is in discussion with potential partners as a targeting to conclude a deal before initiating Phase 3 studies. GRC-39815 is an NC currently being evaluated as an inhaled compound for the possible treatment of COPD. The compound is currently in preclinical development and the company plans to initiate a phase one study shortly. Glenmark Life Sciences, for the third quarter of FY20, external sales for Glenmark Life Sciences was at 2621 million, recording growth of 9.58%. The US and emerging markets led growth in the third quarter, with the US growing in excess of 125% over the corresponding quarter in the last financial year and 60% over the previous quarter. The emerging market sales grew at 25%. The US market growth was led by products such as Afripatent. The organization continues to look at opportunities in emerging markets and has begun seeding multiple products across the region. The company has begun filing products in China. GLS has been working on strengthening the business with top formulation companies, specifically in the EU region, and continues to work on them for new launches. GLS remains on track to launch 3 or 4 products in the next quarters. Ichnos Sciences, during the first half of FY20, Glenmark invested 3835 million. For the third quarter of the financial year, Glenmark has invested 2108 million $30.01 million, totaling to $5,943 million for the first 9 months of the financial year. Ichnos Sciences would initiate the process to raise capital in the U.S. starting Q4 of this financial year to fund the development of its pipeline and for future growth plans. For further updates on Ichnos Sciences pipeline, please refer to the website www.ichnossciences.com. Before we begin the call, a few notes to mention. Forex gain and other income was to the extent of 28 crores. R&D for the third quarter was 352 crores, which is 13% of sales for the quarter. R&D for 9 months was 1,002 crores, which is 13% of sales. Working capital inventory for the period ended December 31st, 2019 was 2,148 crores. Receivables was 2,140 crores and payables was 1,940 crores. Tangible asset addition for the 9 month period was at 459 crores. Intangible asset addition for the 9 month period was at 180 crores for brand in license and 30 crores for software, totaling to 210 crores. Before we open the floor for Q&A, just like to introduce the Glenmark management team. We have Glenn Saldana, Chairman and Managing Director, V.S. Money, Executive Director and CFO, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals, Bob Matzik, President, North America. With that, moderator, we would like to open the floor for question and answers. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all participants connected to this conference, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. We take the first question from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the U.S. If I remember correctly, we had mentioned in the last call that ex-mupirocin, you know, prices have started to bottom out for other derma products. Has something changed in the quarter for the 6 to 7% quarter-on-quarter erosion? And a follow-up on that, you know, are we not seeing traction in our new product launches or launches that we did earlier during the year or market share gains? Because the quarter-on-quarter decline seems pretty sharp.
Yeah,
so,
this is...
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, so just a couple of points. We did see some... acceleration in the derm on the price erosion. I think the other thing that we're seeing specifically on the mupirocin cream and the calcipotriene cream is some volume erosion, and that's across the board. While we maintain market share, overall demand for the product or prescriptions filled for the product has declined. And you know, that's kind of where we're at on the derm side. On the new product launches, we're continuing to gain traction, and you'll see better traction, I think, in the current quarter.
And Bob, in terms of the volume erosion for mupirocin and calcipotriene, is it done now? Are we seeing a stabilization, or should we expect a further erosion on these products?
I think you'll see somewhat of some further erosion until, and then you'll see some stabilization in about a quarter or so.
So Neha, the other thing that impacted the quarter was ranitidine, right? We've stopped selling ranitidine in the quarter, and that, you know, we lost sales on account of ranitidine in the quarter, right? So while the derm, you know, we've had significant erosion in three products during the last 9 months, right? Basically, mupirocin, atomoxetine, and calcipotriene cream. The erosion is significant here. To answer your question on whether this is over, we think, you know, today if you see Glenmark's portfolio, not a single product is more than $25 million in sales. So, whatever price erosion had to happen, right, is already, all the products have come off significantly, right? So we think this is pretty much the bottom in terms of price erosion. And, you know, we are hoping it will normalize from here. Mupirocin is one product where it's hard to tell because of the volume declines that we are seeing, whether we may see some further declines in Q4 and going forward. But the rest of the portfolio, you know, we're pretty much at the bottom in terms of price erosion. And I think the new products, we're seeing some good traction, and I think, you know, going forward, you should see, you know, some growth coming back into the U.S. business.
And this would be from, I'm assuming this would be from FY21, first quarter of FY21.
Even Q4, I think Q over Q, we will have some growth. But, I mean, clearly FY21, you should see the business growing back again.
Okay. My second question is on the other expenses. If I were to, you know, our R&D expense is pretty flat quarter on quarter, but it seems that that number has increased pretty sharply. You know, is there a one-off element there? What drove the sharp increase?
So in terms of the, Neha, in terms of the other expenses in this quarter, there was, there was a little higher spends on the marketing, you know, promotional items. So, I mean, on a nine-month basis, we're still trending, I mean, pretty much similar to what we were last year, but only this quarter was a little bit higher on that account.
And this was in India, sir, or any other market?
It was India and some of the other geographies where we have, where we are present in those markets in terms of branded generics.
Okay, so the quarter-on-quarter increase of about 120 crore, a large part of that would be sales and promotion?
A large part of it, compared to last year, and compared to the last quarter, yes.
Okay.
And if you see last year also in the similar quarter, there was a little bit higher spend on those. So I think sometimes some of these expenditures do get a little bunched up and they come more closer in a particular quarter.
Okay, and sorry, one other related question to the ranitidine discontinuation. Are all costs associated with the discontinuation incorporated in the quarter?
I mean, we will have some recall expenses coming up in Q4, but I think the stoppage of sales has actually impacted Q3.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Sion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Glenn, on this settlement on with GSK on Salmex, if you can throw some light what it means for the opportunity now.
Well, we feel pretty good about it. I think next year should be a really good year for Salmex and for Europe overall, because it's a pretty large product. And I think net-net, it's a positive for the company.
But will this allow you to launch in some of the key markets like UK and Germany?
Absolutely. So we are, you know, this will allow us to launch mainly in Germany as well as the UK. Yeah, all the big markets will be there.
Oh, okay. Okay. And when do you plan to start selling it again?
I think the real impact, Chan, will start coming from Q1, right?
Okay.
But we can relaunch it in Q4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the second question is on Latin America. You know, strong growth on account of this Novartis product. So these products had any sale when you took it over, or this is something which you have built, and is this entirely attributed to that?
Well, I think one is Novartis products were the biggest, is the biggest driver. These products had sales, so we took over the existing sales. But I think over and above that, we got a couple of good approvals in Latin America, which should drive growth going forward. I mean, just recently we got Mupirocin nasal spray, right, which should help next year, which is the first generic there. So that could be a big one. I'm sorry, Mometasone nasal spray. right? So that could be a big one. We got Beclo approval last year in Brazil, which is also helping. So I think, so we got a couple of good launches in Brazil. And of course, the rest of Latin America continues to see good growth overall. I mean, Mexico, Colombia, and various other markets.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Glenn, on the US business now, you know, at 45 odd ANDAs which are pending, ours is a reasonably thinner pipeline versus a, you know, versus a lot of our peers as well as our size of the business. How do you now look at the, I mean, how should we look at US business? I mean, how does it, you know, in terms of how you now strategizing on the US business in the sort of new environment where I think it's becoming incrementally more difficult to make significant amount of money on niche opportunities? So how should, you know, there are thoughts on that going forward?
So we continue to stay positive on the US. And I think, you know, you're right. I think product approvals have slowed down, but I still think it remains an attractive market on the generic side. We typically would get 10 to 15 approvals a year, so we are hoping to sustain that run rate. I think the other key thing is compliance, right? So as long as we stay compliant, I think, you know, the US business will continue to grow on a consistent basis.
But, Vijayan, any thoughts on, you know, there is this thought in terms of people moving to, or rather some of your peers also trying to move towards a more broader portfolio rather than just focusing on select specific products. Do we still continue with the strategy of, you know, focusing on niche specific molecules, or do you think there is a, or you will probably reevaluate the strategy in terms of being broad-basing your portfolio a whole lot more, probably focusing a lot more on volumes and value going forward?
Well, I mean, our game is, I mean, we will continue to look for value opportunities as opposed to just volume. The big driver for the U.S. Will be, you know, some of the injectables that we hope to launch going forward. So that could be an exciting portfolio for us and a new portfolio for us. We've launched foams. We've launched, so various dosage forms, new dosage forms that we've got into will drive some of our U.S. growth.
Okay. Secondly, on, you know, on Monroe site, what is the status on the site? Have we started commercializing products from there?
Not yet. We are hoping to start from Q1.
And so a good chunk of the 45 ANDAs which are pending are from the site?
That's right.
Okay. And secondly, on the API business, Glenn, you know, given the fact that there has been a general you know, upswing in the momentum on the API side of the business, how are we looking at this business obviously incrementally now going forward? Have you seen, you know, improvement in the quantity, the inquiries and all which have come through across different markets? Or, I mean, how do you see the business really placed really going forward here?
So, I mean, it looks, see, Q4 looks to be a good quarter for the API business. But I think overall, if you look at APIs, I mean, our view is, you know, we think this business can grow, you know, between 10 to 15% CAGR for the next 3 to 5 years. And there is significant opportunity. Also, what's happening in China and, you know, I think a lot of those flows will start coming to India. So it remains an exciting business for us, and we continue to run it pretty efficiently.
Okay. Last, if you can squeeze in one more, you know, what proportion of our gross block, I presume, for example, Monroe is one asset, which is almost like $100 million, if I recall, which is not being utilized. Are there any other large chunky pieces of our, you know, our gross block, which are not utilized currently?
No, Nitin, this is money here. Not much here. I mean, on and off, you may have some lines being put up, which may be in CWIP, but largely it is Monroe that is there, really speaking.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, Mupirocin at peak used to be about $70 million. Now you're saying it is less than 25. So, is this predominant, if you think about the last 2-3 years, is this the predominant reason why your sales appear flat?
Absolutely, Chirag. I mean, there's nothing we can do to reverse the Mupirocin trend, okay, because we are the sole sellers of Mupirocin cream today in the U.S. And it's unfortunate. I mean, there's a lot of changes in the market access situation in the U.S., right, which is basically driving down Mupirocin cream demand, right? So I think you're right. The bulk of the decline, I mean, we are seeing on account of Mupirocin. And if I add calcipotriene cream and I would add atomoxetine, right, I mean, you're looking at very, very large numbers just on account of these three products that we've lost, right, which we've more than been able to compensate with some of the new product launches, and we continue to gain share with the new products.
So like we quantified Mupirocin, you know, 60, 70 million going to 25 now, can you also quantify calcipotriene and atomoxetine?
Unfortunately, I can't, Chirag.
Okay.
But they're big numbers.
No worries. In terms of ranitidine, how big was this product for us? And, has the impact only come in the third quarter?
So, ranitidine sales were around 2 to 2.5 million a quarter.
Okay, fair point. And Jason, can you give the debt numbers?
Yeah, the debt number is, gross debt is about 4680 and the net debt is 3650.
Okay. And just on the Monroe bit, how should we think about this facility, the scale-up, and, what sort of returns do you think this can start generating over a reasonable, future?
So I think starting next year, Monroe should be a good lift in terms of our overall, U.S. sales. In fact, I anticipate a lot of the growth will come out of Monroe in the next few years for the U.S. business, primarily on account of injectables, nebulizers, both the lines. We have lots of filings and the oral solids.
So if you think about this, this facility, say, 3 years out, Glenn, what contribution can this be for the overall U.S. business? So as in, I'm trying to understand what part of your U.S. sales could come out of U.S. India.
I mean, Chirag, I can't give you a number, but I can say the bulk of the growth, right, in the U.S. business will come from Monroe and some of the filings sitting there.
Right. And the CapEx number, sir, FI21? FI20
or 21?
21,
we are looking at about anywhere between 700 to 800 crores all put together.
So, Glenn, your peers who are much larger in the U.S. are investing or are reducing CapEx, they're reducing R&D, albeit, generic R&D, but... your CapEx numbers are similar to peers who have much larger U.S. businesses. How should we think about this CapEx coming down, if at all? And if you can just broadly discuss where this, 700-800 crores is being spent.
So, obviously, this is money here. So, obviously, compared to the last year, it is much lower in the current year. And we're projecting it to be lower the next year also. I mean, in a way, if you look at it in terms of CapEx, obviously, one is the routine CapEx that you do spend. Almost half of that would go towards that. And then, obviously, as we have put up Monroe, we keep up, initially at least phase, there'll be some new assets, etc., that you require, some equipments, etc., that do come in. And also, we have a decent bit of in-licensing that we keep doing across the world. So, all this put together, all comes in here only, together.
So, in the past, we've talked about 200 crores sort of in-licensing.
Yeah, around that level. It keeps, some years is a little higher, sometimes it is a little lower, but it's thereabouts. Yeah.
So just to, you know, sort of get the numbers right, 800 crores will be spent in capex, 400 crores on maintenance, 200 crores of tangible on growth, and 200 crores on in-license.
Broadly, yes.
All right. And this growth number, you know, this maintenance number of 400 crores, do we see this coming down over time?
We'll make efforts to bring it down. But as you know, the regulatory environment is also tough. One needs to keep up. Every now and then something or the other is required. You would look at it that way. So I think even our peers, all of you have spent on the routine capex. Otherwise, how do you maintain your capex the way it is?
Okay.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just first one on the India business, numbers have come pretty good. I think you called out Remo, but how is this, you know, 5 crore is the number that you put out as per IQA. Do you think this can, is a scope for this doing even better here on a sequential basis? That's point number one. And non-Remo, can you talk about the portfolio as well?
Sure. So I think, I mean, overall, India continues to be very exciting for us. So Remo, I mean, we are seeing month-on-month growth, right? Addition of, I would say, at least 40, 50 lakhs a month. So so it continues to be an exciting product for the company, and it could be really big in the next 12 months. The rest of the portfolio, so respiratory, we are doing a good job, right? I mean, we have glycopyronin, which is doing well, some new products, glycopyronin, glycopharmatrol. So these are some of the new respiratory products doing well. On the derm side, we continue to gain some share. And our cardiovascular franchise is doing well, right, with the entire Telma range. So I think all in all, India continues to be strong for us. And we think, you know, you will see strong growth continuing to come out of India.
So Glenn, we can maintain this load over mid-teens kind of a growth, you think? Fiscal, I'm looking at fiscal 21, but
so
maybe...
21, I think between 10 to 15% is what we anticipate, right?
Got it. Okay. My second question is on China and the API business, the life sciences business. So just quick thought on any of the supply chain issues that, you know, concerns have risen with the virus situation. Are you okay? And I also noticed that you started file for China. So just if you can give us an update on both those.
So on the supply side, Q1, we are covered. I think... This quarter we are covered. Q4 we are covered, and part of Q1 we are covered. You know, after that it will all depend on how things evolve in China. We've also started bringing back some of those, you know, backward integrating further into some of these products in India as a backup, right, to prevent our supply chain getting hit. So these are some of the efforts on to hedge ourselves against the coronavirus situation. As regards filing in China, we have some partnerships in China, and mainly on the generic side, and we are hoping to continue filing in China. But on the generic side, most of our business model is to continue with the partnering model as opposed to trying to set up a commercial front end there.
Yeah, so Glenn, will we go through the auction route, or do you think it's like a broad-based strategy where we look at through the partner feet on the ground types? How would this pan out?
So it's clearly it's more of a supply type arrangement as opposed to feet on the ground.
Okay, got it. Last question, just a clarification. What goes into Ichnos versus what stays in Glenmark specialty? Say, for example, I just note, I may be wrong, GBR310 is with us, 830 goes into Ichnos. So how do you kind of split these things out?
So Ichnos is focused on immunology and oncology, right, as things stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mainly the biological assets are being run out of Ichnos, right? And Glenmark is focused on respiratory, so the respiratory assets will stay in Glenmark, right? So derm, respiratory are the two segments where we are operating. 830 is, is more immunology, right? I mean, across the different portfolios, you've got, you know, right from atopic dermatitis, you've got RA, you've got SLE, multiple possible indications.
Got it. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Good morning. On the cost side, I think Chiraz had asked this question, but more on the R&D side, my question is more on the operating cost side. We have seen global generic companies as well as Indian, you know, generic larger companies. They've been critically focused on reducing the cost base. We have in the past mentioned about it. We have seen some improvement, but is there more scope for the cost, operating cost reduction?
I think next year, FY21, you should see a very good reduction in, particularly in our overall R&D spends as a percent to sales, right? It should come down quite sharply. So I think that is one element which we think will help FY21. And our margins, effective EBITDA margins, will go up in FY21. So that's one element. The other thing is on manpower cost, you know, we think, you know, there will be a YOY, there will be a reduction in manpower cost as a percent to sales. So these are the two areas where I see improvement in FY21.
When you say R&D, it would be more a function of, you know, the merged entity Ichnos, or you are saying on a like-to-like basis, you are seeing reduction in R&D?
On a consolidated like-to-like basis, right, you will see a reduction in R&D cost, right, coming up next year. And this
is
without assuming any capital raise or anything else, right?
Okay. Okay. But what is the range we are looking at next year?
Sorry, Prakash, I can't give you a number right now.
Okay. Fair enough. And one more question on the domestic piece. We have seen a lot of players coming in for Vildagliptin. I understand Revo is totally different, but it targets the same therapy. So if you could just broadly make us understand, like, you know, is there a chance or there is no chance of, Vilda taking some share?
So far, we are not seeing any impact of Vilda. So we have Teneligliptin, which is a big molecule for us. So we've not seen any decline in sales there. And we have Remo, right, which is continuing to grow and gain share. Of course, Remo is in a different area altogether, right? The SGLT2s are looked at very differently from the DPP-4s.
Yeah.
But even in Teneli, we are not seeing any decline in sales. So the sales continue to remain strong.
Okay. And this last one here, in terms of new launches for India, you had a blockbuster Remo kind of product, which is still catching up. Any major products and any therapies that you are planning for 21? Because you will have a good base this year, right?
Yeah, so we have a host of launches coming up.
First is last time, sorry.
Okay. So look, we have a number of products which are potentially first in class, right? Let me just leave it at that, right? I don't think we have anything like another Remo in our pipeline, okay? Because Remo is a unique opportunity. So I don't think, at least for the next year or 2 years, we don't have another Remo, but we have a number of first in class launches, potential first in class launches, and you'll see them as they play out.
Okay, lovely. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Tushar from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Just again on the India business, if you could help us with the number of MRs and how many MRs you intend to add.
So right now we are up to, I think,
3,800
sales reps, right? And currently there's no major expansion.
So this is the number to go about for next year as well, more or less.
I mean, we are not guiding to next year, but more or less, you can assume that, you know, you're not going to see some massive expansion next year.
And just, if you could just help us sequentially, how much net debt reduction or addition will happen?
So we gave the number of, on the debt it is 3650, so sequentially it has come down. It was 3665, the net debt was as of 6 months ended.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Glenn, on R&D, you know, how should we look at, you know, R&D spends over the next, say, couple of years, you know, with, you know, subject, I mean, and where does the Equinox fundraise come in? I mean, if you just sort of put that into perspective, I mean, how you overall look at, and what are the focus areas of for us on R&D on an ex-Equinox basis going forward?
Okay, so I think, so R&D spends will come down as a percent of sales, okay, going forward. I mean, that's what I've stated, right? So FY21, you should see a lower R&D spend on a consolidated basis, right? I think, I mean, ex-Ikonos, I think Glenmark's focus is primarily, the bulk of our expenditure is on the generic R&D, but we also have a good specialty differentiated portfolio in other markets, ex US and Western Europe. I mean, that's the only visibility I can give you, Nitin.
But Glenn, do you have a number on, you know, broader number on where do you see this number settling as a percentage of sales on R&D front?
We can't give it right now, Nitin, but as I said, next year will be lower and then after that, we will sustain that on an ongoing basis.
Okay. And then one last one bookkeeping question on Monroe. Has it been capitalized and will it have an impact on the depreciation charges and all going forward?
Yeah. I mean, going forward, once we do next year, we capitalize it, the depreciation will go up a bit. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Surjit Pal from Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just one question is that you have guided for manpower cost year on year to be lower in FY21. What are the sources for lower manpower cost?
Well, I think as a percent to sales, it will come down, right? So we have no major expansions coming up in FY21, right? So I think overall, as a percent of sales, we expect manpower cost to come down.
Okay. So not in real terms. Okay. Another point is that this R&D cost earlier, if I can recall, the conversation was that around 50-50 was the distribution of R&D between NCE and generic and specialty. So should we go by that distribution? Is that, you know, after Icon has been separated? Okay. So that much of revenue, that much of cost will be set for the company?
So just to say correctly, I mean, we normally, I mean, currently we spend about 13% in R&D, of which 8% is on the innovation side, okay? Mm-hmm. So you'll have to, I mean, it's not 50-50, it's more like 60-40 or thereabouts, okay? So going forward, that's the way you'll see the distribution, yeah.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Alok Dalal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Mani, what are the plans to bring down debt levels next year and can you guide towards the number?
I think, Alok, you know, this year we have some divestments, right? We of some non-core assets. I mean, we did a divestment of a gynec portfolio in India and there are several others happening. So I think leverage will continue to come down quite substantially. Good money.
But Alok, we will probably not be in a position to guide you to a perfect number right now. But the plan is that I think we announced already one and there are a few more that we may announce. So those will definitely bring down the debt. Yeah. And as you can see, over the last couple of months, in spite of currency movements upwards, we still managed to keep our debt levels well in check here.
And I think one more point is next year, FY21, with the lower R&D spends and manpower cost, right, we anticipate, the business to generate some decent cash, free cash in FY21.
Okay. So fair to assume that debt levels probably have peaked out now at 9-month 20 number?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, on ICNOS, what is the progress on the fundraising front? Has the process started and what are the timelines we are looking at?
So as per our plan, we are just kicking it off as we speak. I mean, Q4 is when we anticipated we will start initiating the fundraise, and we are starting it, anytime now.
Okay. And secondly, sir, so if I just look at US sales, $113 million, and you have said that possibly in Q4 we might see some more pressure coming through on Mupirocin, but that will be compensated by the new launches. So how should we look at the quarterly US sales? Is $112 million kind of the base number to look at, and anything lower than that shouldn't be the case? Is that the way we should look at the US number here on?
So Q over Q, as we said, Alankar, we will still grow in Q4 versus Q3, right, in the US. So I think from here on, you should anticipate that, we are at the bottom right now, right, in terms of US sales. And you will see an improvement. The improvement, because there is still some amount of Mupirocin in the base, right, you may see the improvement being gradual over the next couple of quarters. But thereafter, it should kick on. And I think quarter over quarter, you should see growth from here on in the US.
Understood. And one final question from my side, Glenn. On the API divestment, any update there or the plans have been shelved?
Right now, the plans have been shelved, Alankar.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza for closing comments.
Thank you. The final disclaimer, the information statement analysis made during this call describing the company's objectives, projection and estimates are forward-looking statements and progressive within the meaning of applicable security laws and regulation. The analysis contained herein is based on numerous assumptions. Actual results may vary from those expressed or implied depending upon economic condition, government policies and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. With this, we end Glenmark Q3 earnings call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.